condemned to die on a cross for crimes he had done. He was guilty, everyone could see. But his destiny was changed as he looked at Christ and said, "When your kingdom comes, remember me." In paradise that day he stood, just like the Lord had said he would, surrounded by those who had gone before. And one said, "Friend, told me to say."
going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 20. We're continuing our series on Acts ministry. Last week, we looked at Psalm 24 and identifying the fact that God owns everything on this earth. I know a lot of times we tend to talk about what we own or what we have, but when we really look at it and look at it truthfully as Christians, we understand, as Christians or not, God owns it all, but as Christians, we understand we are stewards of what the Lord has blessed us with. We don't own anything. Matter of fact, we don't even own our own lives. Because if we really take it theologically to its extreme and really look at where it leads, is we were purchased and bought through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, we're his servants. And he has every right to demand that we follow him, that we do the things that he would have us to do in going and proclaiming the message of the gospel. And he told us that that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. But as we come to our story today, chapter 19, most of you are familiar with the story of the rich young ruler. And when the young man thought of all the possessions that he had and all the things that he thought he owned that were his, as he had come seeking eternal life, Jesus had told him exactly how he could have eternal life. Go and sell what you have. Give it to the poor, and then you will have eternal life. Now, he wasn't telling him, you buy your way into heaven. We know that. But what he was telling him was, your faith and your dependency and your trust is on the things that you can look upon with your eyes and that you call yours. Folks, I want to tell us, as members of the body of Christ, as Americans today, many of us, through the blessings we've received in living in this nation, the things that we have accumulated that we would say that are ours, that we have been given the privilege to be able to steward over, would also cause us to be a lot like the rich young ruler, is that we would turn and walk away when the Lord says, come follow me. Now, some of you made professions of faith and said, Lord, you know, I want to give my life to you, but I want you to save me from hell, but I don't want to give up the things that I don't want to give up. Well, that's not the way it works. And Jesus is explaining that to his disciples here in this section of scripture as we come to this point of worship today. Is after the young man walked away, as you read a little further there towards the end of chapter 19, you see that Peter began to say, listen, we've left everything for you. So what is there for us? And Jesus began to sense in Peter and the disciples a wrong motive. He had just spoken in Matthew chapters 5 through 7 in the Beatitudes there in the Sermon on the Mount, as he had spoken about serving and worshiping and doing things for others with the right motive. That it's a matter of loving them as Christ loves them. It's a matter of sharing the love of God with those around us. And so here are his main disciples after this young man turned away, and he said it was easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle and how hard it is for a rich man to be saved. That he's having to teach them now this parable so they too can begin to understand what it is he's referring to. And I feel like we're at a point like that in the church today, because we put all these things that we are trying to accomplish and trying to have and trying to purchase and that we're desiring for ourselves and our families above serving and worshiping God. You know, we're told in the scriptures is that the laborers are few for the harvest, and we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest for laborers. But I wonder how much we pray for laborers today. And I wonder how much more we pray, probably more consistently, Lord, let someone else be that laborer. Let me just write a check, or let me just do something else, but would you let someone else fill those responsibilities so that I don't have to? You see, we live in a time when it's a whole lot easier just to write a check and say, here, buy something, do something, but I can't help you time-wise. Because, as I said last week, time is a precious commodity to us. It's one of the most precious commodities we have, except the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be our most precious commodity we have, is knowing that we belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that we're his children, and that we are his servants, and that we get the pleasure of serving in his kingdom. to be a blessing to others and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to the point where Jesus has been talking about the fact that the first shall be last and the last will be first. That's kind of where this parable picks up here in beginning of verse 1 of chapter 20. It says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." And so Jesus used a lot of parables, and as he did, he liked to tell stories that were familiar to the people and that would relate to them. It was probably around the harvest time, around late August, early September, much like it is now, where there was the vineyards, the grapes would come in, and you had a short time period to harvest those grapes and receive a profit off of those before the rains came and flooded the fields, and they could not get in the fields to harvest those, and they would ruin in September. And so as Jesus is speaking to them here, he gives them this parable, and he's using God as a landowner. And they understand that much to know that that's what he's referring to, because he's been talking about eternity. And as you notice, he says he goes out early to the marketplace there, and he finds workers to work in the vineyard. Now, as we look at this parable today, this first group of workers and the last group are the ones that will focus the most on. But you need to understand, every worker is important to Christ. Every worker in the kingdom is important to God. And there's a need and a place for every worker, regardless of whether you became a believer early in life and you've been a believer for 50 or 60, 70 years and you're still serving the Lord, or you've just come to faith in the last week or so and you're just beginning that walk and that journey with Christ to begin to serve in his kingdom, to even begin to find out what is the gift or talent that the Lord has given you. That at the time that you were saved, you were given a gift or a talent to be able to use for the Lord God in his kingdom to edify and lift up the body and to bring glory to him. And so as he is speaking here, he's using things that are common to explain to us an uncommon truth. You know, as we look at this, he goes at 6 o'clock in the morning is what the time basically goes there. And there are already people that are gathered there in the marketplace. And let me just tell you a little bit about this. This is not like when you pull by Walmart down here and you see the people sitting with signs or holding signs or standing in the road out there on the stoplight and "I'll work for food" and all these things. And you know, when you try to help get them a job, and if you've ever done this before, and I worked with a company that had the opportunity to be able to hire and fire people, was one of the things I did say, "Listen, if you really want to work, I'll give you a job and pay you a fair pay if you'll come and be at this office here," and told them where the address was. I never had the first one show up. You see, they'd rather sit and beg than to work and live an honorable life. See, this is not the kind of people here that Jesus is coming upon early in the morning. These men are day laborers. They're poor. They're some of the poorest of the poor workers. And they're used to working for a day's wage was a denarius, which is roughly about 20 cents of pay. But the thing was, they were there day after day with their tools ready to go to work for whoever would hire them, because they knew that their family was going to eat, they had to work. They didn't get handouts. They didn't get free gifts. They didn't get all these things. They had to work. And so with that, they were willing to work. And they got there early. So the thing you notice, though, is when they began to talk to the landowner, the first thing they began to talk about was, "If we work for you, how much will we make if we work all day?" You see, the Old Testament described over in Leviticus and Deuteronomy that the worker would be paid at the end of each day. And they knew this, so they were negotiating how much. This is the common pay, how much we receive. And basically said, "You're going to get what's common for a day's pay." And they agreed to it with no question. You know, a lot of times when we're serving in the church, we get to a point where it's one of those things where we don't get paid as we volunteer and serve in the church, but it's kind of like we want to begin to look around, and we're going to see that begin to happen here too, where those that are working alongside us or working in other areas, we take our eyes off the Lord and who we're serving, who we're worshiping as we serve, and we begin to look at the other workers around. You see, the landowner goes back at 9 in the morning, and he goes back at 12 noon, And then he goes back again at 3, and he goes back again at the end of the day at 5 o'clock, as the scripture will describe to us here. On all these occasions, he goes over and over again, because you see, the labors are few, but the harvest is great. He needs more and more workers, so he's continually looking for and choosing those and calling them to serve him. And so when you look at that in light of eternity, as you look at how many people the Lord has called to himself and saved over the time that we know as it is now, and you look at each and every day as we see people coming and joining the church, we see new people coming and getting involved in serving each and every day, serving in ministries. And that's the way it should be. But the persistence of the Lord to go early in the morning, then to go back and to go back again, he's constantly looking around, choosing those that would serve him, choosing those and calling them to himself to say, come follow me. So he negotiates with the first group, but notice what happens with the second group. It says in verse 3, and he went about the third hour, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and what is right I will give you. So they went. Now they didn't negotiate a price. They just went on his word that if you'll go and serve me today, I will give you what it's worth. I will make it right by you. He didn't give them any amount. He didn't make any promises of what they would receive, except they would receive what was right. You know, the next thing we see here too is as he goes back again, it says that in verse 5, and he went out about the 6th and the 9th hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? Now, he's not chastising them for being lazy. He's not saying, you know, look, you guys came in late. That's why nobody's hired you. They had been there from the beginning. But he goes back again and he looks over the group, even to the middle of the day, even to the last hour at 5 o'clock with 1 hour left to work, and he hires them. But he asks them, why have you been standing around idle? You know, it's a good question for those who are followers of God to ask that question of ourselves. Why are we sitting around idle? Why are we just sitting in the pew and expecting everyone else to come and prepare and to teach us and to preach to us and to serve us? You know, when you're sitting here today, these tables were put out Friday night. There's a lot of different groups that help with this. The walkers sometimes help put these out. But Friday night, some of these youth and others were helping put them out. Somebody came through yesterday and put all the toppings around the table and everything. And even this morning, they were trying to finish these out. Somebody came early this morning to be here for the meal that'll be here to be prepared to serve that meal today. So why are you sitting by idly doing nothing, wasting the day instead of redeeming the time? You see, there's a place for everyone to serve within the kingdom of God. And God is constantly calling us, come follow me. Come and be my servant. Come and do what I tell you to do. Come and serve in my kingdom. And yet over and over again, we remain idle. That's called rebellion. It's called laziness, to be quite honest with you. I've never been a part of anything that I didn't help serve in some way. Whether it's here, in my home, in the workplace, out in the community, and whatever I've done, I've never just sat and watched other people work. From the time I was 12 years old, I've worked in the community helping others. And you see, I guess it becomes a part of who you are and a part of your DNA. But that also tells if you like to sit and be idle, it becomes a part of your DNA too. But it's not a Christian DNA. Because you see, at the time that we're saved, we're supposed to be regenerated or born again. And then we're also supposed to be in the process of being transformed through the renewing of the mind each and every day. And so whatever we were before, we shouldn't be that same person now. We should be changing into that person, being molded in that image, that one that God wants us to be. And so he's challenging his disciples here to listen, because here's what happens is he says, and he said, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever's right, you will receive. You see, he doesn't chastise them. He doesn't beat up on them. He just says, come work for me. Come serve me and be my servant. And he's constantly inviting us to be a part of his kingdom and serving him as servants. But here's the key verse right here, and here's where it begins to take a change in tone here. It says in verse 8, so when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Now, you know, I just have to stop here for a moment, and it's kind of funny in a sense because, you know, if he just called those in, he said, you know, you guys are tired. You've been out in the heat all day. You start at 6 o'clock this morning. I'm going to go ahead and pay you and y'all go home. We wouldn't have this story here today. But Jesus has a sense of humor too because he knows who we are in our fleshly nature. As he says to the steward, remember the steward is the one who is over the vineyard there and represents the owner. That would be you and I if we're stewards of the things that we think we have in our homes and our cars and all these things. And he says, go and call them and then pay those who started last, pay them first. Now, if he had given them some pittance of an amount, those first workers would have been thrilled. But when they got a denarius, when they only worked 1 hour out of a 12-hour day, all of a sudden they begin to think, well, man, this guy is very generous. And he's going to bless our socks off. He's going to give us way more than a denarius. He may give us 2 or 3 denariuses for working 12 hours and helping him so much in his time of need. But no, that's not what happened. He says that when they began to pay them in verse 9, and when those who came and were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. They got exactly what they bargained for. Now, this is not a message about salvation here in the sense, directly in the sense. It is in the fact that God calls us to himself. He chooses us and calls himself, and we come to him and we receive the gift of salvation. It's not just about rewards because Paul tells us over in Corinthians, each one will receive our own reward as we have worked. So it's not a matter that they're working and doing this trying to get a greater reward. You see, sometimes in the church we get caught up with, well, I want to be the Sunday school superintendent. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be a deacon. I want to be this. I want to be that. And it's like somebody would pat me on the back about all the jobs I hold and all the things I do because this church couldn't function without me. Let me just tell you, this church would function and run without any of us here if that was God's will. He doesn't need any of us. But he calls us and he chooses us and he chooses to use us even though we're weak and impure vessels. He purifies us and cleanses us and prepares us for the work. But it says in verse 11, and this is where the rub comes, it says, and when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. You know, he did exactly what he had told them he would do. And they still complain. Let me just say, think about that in your jobs when you're out in the work world out there working. You agree to a salary and you agree to the hours you're going to work and you work and you get exactly what you have agreed to, and then someone else comes in, maybe you think in your mind they're not qualified or not deserving or whatever, and they get the same pay. You've received what you were promised to get. That's exactly what these workers got. They got exactly what they were promised. But you wonder, if this man is this gracious and this man is this kind and he's that giving to provide what each family needed, not what everyone wanted, but what they needed. Because remember, the ones that started at 11 o'clock said, we haven't been standing by idly except that no one's chosen us to work for them. They were willing to work. And as soon as they got the opportunity, they went to work. But they had families to provide for, just like those that start at 6 in the morning. And the Lord said, I'll provide for their needs, just like I did for those that started in the morning. You see, there's no seniority in Christianity. For those of you that are new here at Ebenezer, welcome, or you're visiting here today, On September the 29th, we're going to have a ministry fair. And at that point, we're going to be right out here tailgating. And we're going to have a time where you can come by and you can learn about the different ministries. And you can sign up according to the gifting and the calling and the leading of the Holy Spirit to serve in this church if you're a member of this church. You can even help start a new ministry. Now, with that, you don't have to sit on the pew for 10 years and wait for somebody to beg you to take an offering or do something else. We give everybody the opportunity to serve because each one of us are children of God and we're called to serve and we're here as a part of the body of Christ for the purpose of serving the Lord together to edify or build up the body and to make the church more healthy in each one of us serving and participating. And so there's a place for everybody. And with that, the reward that you receive will be from the Lord. It's not from any church. It's not from any pastor. It's not who you're doing it for. You're doing it for the Lord and unto the Lord as you worship him. Now, the thing is, Jesus as a landowner confronts him here. And he's saying, they complained against the landowner saying, these last men have worked only, in verse 12, only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. If somebody's been a member of this church for 50 years, 60 years, they don't hold any more position and sway in this church than somebody just walked in the door and joined last week. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Amen? And with that, he says, we've been doing this and carrying this burden all through the heat of the day. I'm thankful for faithful servants that have served here for 20 and 30 and 40 and 50 years. And we're not just going to cast them by the wayside. But at the same time, we're also going to open room up when somebody comes in and says, hey, but the Lord's called me to help serve in some way. There's room for everybody here. There's a place on the team, so to speak, for everybody to play. It's not a pay and play. It's not a show up and you have to play. It's that you come with a heart and intention and desire to want to worship and to serve God. Just like these men have been there all day, standing there in that heat, waiting for someone to hire them, wanting to work the whole time and got hired in the last hour. We don't know that we're not living in the last days. But there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. And with that, there's great need for laborers. And so he tells them here, he says, Jesus responds in verse 13, but he answered and said, one of them said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? He's reminding them of their commitment. You committed to work for a day, and I paid you what you were told you would receive. The others, I told them they would receive a fair pay. I would be generous to them, and I did exactly what I told them I would do. But notice what he says, too, and this is where the whole title comes from, that the principles of responsibility of the owner has certain rights. And God owns it all. He owns us as his children. So he has certain rights here. He said in verse 14, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. And he questions, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? You see, they all belong to God. Sometimes we look around at others and we get jealous. What others have. Well, somehow or another, they've got this, and why don't we have this, Lord? And Lord, I want that, what they've got. Sad to say, we do that as individuals and in homes. And the sadder part to say is sometimes we do it as churches. We look at what the Lord has blessed someone else with, another church, and we say, Lord, why don't we have that? Why can't we have that? Like spoiled children, as if we're deserving. And he says, I give you what you need. You know, when I think about that, I look at this building. We got a beautiful facility here. We've been blessed to be able to start Awana and to try to begin to reach out into this community and to pour the love of Christ into children and into families and to minister to families. But it's still a smaller number of the church and the body that is faithfully committed to serving. We have a great opportunity right now to expand beyond this campus and have a great outreach there at Skyland Elementary through Good News. And we are asking and pleading, if you can help on Tuesdays from 2 to 4, please see Brandon and Gloria and let them know and do a background check that's required by the school system through Good News and come and help us. For sister churches around the community, we're not saying we are controlling Good News at Skyline. We're begging them, please send laborers for the harvest. Please come and help. Be a part of what's going on. And the Lord will give you justly and righteously your reward. Now, we don't do it for the reward. Because what I read in Scripture is that when we get to heaven, is that the crown that we receive with those jewels, we're going to toss that before the Lord and we're going to humble ourselves and acknowledge He's the one true and living King. And we're just His servants. We're just His children. The concern with this is that we don't get prideful like these disciples who said, Lord, if he can't get saved and the rich young ruler with all the wealth that he has and all those things he has, what hope is there for us? What's in it for us? Quit asking, Lord, what's in it for me? And just say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Be like an Isaiah who said, Lord, just use me. I'm not worthy, but here I am. Would you use me? You know, the thing is, if he owns all of you, then your heart's already going to be committed to him and wanting to serve him and to worship him in those ways. There are a lot of ministries that goes on in this church here, not just on Thursdays and not just once a month and not just once in a while, but ministries happen every single day or week, and they have to happen. You know, as we were looking at safety and security for the church here, couple of our deacons said, well, we'll go ahead and stay outside after we take the monies back and do things, and we'll stay outside and patrol the area. And then they came back and said, I don't like being out of service for 3 weeks and 4 weeks. I said, how about think about those ladies in the nursery when we keep asking and begging for those to help in the nursery, and the same group of people have to sit there week after week after week after week because others won't step up and help serve. How do you think they feel? But you see, the thing about it boils down to this. They're putting the needs of the kingdom before their own comfort. They're putting the needs of the kingdom before their own desires in trying to serve the Lord and bring honor and glory to the Lord and point others to the Lord and be a servant of God. And folks, that's what God is telling us today we should do, is commit ourselves fully to Him. I don't know where you are in your walk today. I don't know where you are in serving in this kingdom of the Lord and serving through the church, the local New Testament body. But there is a place for everyone here. But we have to acknowledge, first of all, that as the owner, you know, I laughed years ago, a young kid came up and said, he's looking around the church and he said, preacher, you own all this? I said, I don't own a bit of it. God owns it all. He's just allowed me to be here to be able to tell others about him. But you know what? We don't own this facility. This is just brick and mortar. It's just a place where we come to meet. But I'm looking out at the church right now, and there's great ministry needed in this community beyond what we're already doing even. Some of you here, the Lord's already begun to put it in your heart, opportunities that we can minister into the lives of people. I look at just 5 miles down the road, there's a school here with 2,000 students. You say, well, that's a Christian university. But not everybody that comes there is Christian either. And the other part of that is there's great needs for outreach to those students that are there. A lot of them are away from home for the first time. For the first time, they're making decisions about what they're going to do with their lives. Are they going to live for God? Are they going to live for themselves? Are they going to follow the way of the world? And you see, they need a church home, and they need people from the church to love on them and be mentors to them and maybe a foster parent to them in a sense as a mom or dad while they're away from home, to have that opportunity to build relationships that will help guide them and point them towards Christ, that they might hold on to that anchor of the Lord Jesus Christ and be anchored to the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and not stray. So there's great opportunities around us. The question is, are you going to be like those first workers that you got to know that you're going to get paid and what you're going to get paid and how long you're going to work? Are you willing to commit to the Lord God and just say, here I am, Lord, and if it goes 10 hours, 12 hours, 1 hour, it don't matter. But I'm in it with you. I'm all in with you. And whatever you want to do to take care of us, we'll trust you in all things. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you today and I thank you for this word of challenge today, Lord, from you through your word. And God, I pray now, Lord, that each one of us would hear that challenge. We would respond to you, Lord, in a way that would change our lives, that we would not leave here the same as we are today. But Lord, we would recognize that there's great need around us, Lord, and you've called us and you've chosen us and you've set us apart that we might glorify you through our worship. Lord, not only in the praises that we lift up with our voices and sing, but Lord, also with the commitment of our hands and our feet to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to go and proclaim the message of the gospel and make disciples. Lord, that lives may be changed beginning with ours and going out through this community to the ends of this earth. Lord, we thank you and praise you for you are worthy. And we commit ourselves to you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In whatever way, God, would you stand, please? In whatever way God is speaking to your heart this morning, if you just want to respond to him, this altar is open. There's some chairs here. There's a carpet here. You can come. There's stairs here. You can come and just begin to just commit yourself to him or recommit yourself to him in whatever way he's challenged you to do today. We invite you to come. David, would you please?
The greatness of his mercy and love.
feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb.
I want to thank you all for being here today and invite you all, our guests and others that are here, to join us in eating lunch here in just a moment. We want to thank those who prepared the meal today and who will be serving. Remember, as our guests, we want you to go first, and we ask that you do that, please. Please stay. Don't worry that you brought anything. Everything's provided for. And so if you would join us on that, I want to pray for that in just a moment. And I want to ask, if Sherry Crane is here too, we're taking a harvest offering on September 15th. And we've talked about a few times to have her just give us an update on where we are financially on the building. And I want to ask her at some point just a little later to get a mic and share that with us, that we can know and continue to pray for what the Lord would lay on her heart to give on the 15th. All that will go towards paying down principal on the building. Folks, we have about 3.5 years left on our building, 3 to 3.5 years left to pay. And we're hoping and praying we'll pay this off in that 5-year time period. And the Lord can do that, and he can do it through us if we'll just commit ourselves to him. So we need to begin to pray. Let's close with prayer, and then I'll have Sherry share that with you a little later. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for each one that's here. Lord, we know it's not by accident that any of us are gathered here today. But Lord, it's by your design and your plan, Lord, as a sovereign and holy God. Lord, we thank you for your grace that you've extended to us and continue to each and every day through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this meal that we're about to partake in as the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for those who provided, those who have prepared it, Lord, those who will serve it. And Lord, let us all be a part of helping with cleaning up and taking care of the things that need to be done, Lord, just as we would in our own home with our own families. And Lord, may you be glorified through this. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.